Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, June 19, 2014. President Kiir tells Parliament he will not accept any interim government arrangement that either fails to put him in charge or tries to dissolve the Parliament.
They want to bring somebody of their choice to be the president of that transitional government. That too is a red line.
And rebel leader Riek Machar supports governors who are calling for federal style of governance in South Sudan.
I first want to congratulate Governor Clement Wane, Governor Joseph Fakasora, for stating their views on federalism. To me, this was a very bold step which the two governors took.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Kiir told Parliament today he will not accept an interim government unless he is named the head of that government and receives guarantee that the Parliament will not be resolved. Under pressure from the United States and other Western allies, Mr. Kiir has already agreed to help form a transitional government. Philip Aleu has this report for VOA from Juba.
President Kiir says he will refuse to step aside under a transitional government.
They intend to constitute a transitional government without me as the elected president. They want to bring somebody of their choice to be the president of that transitional government. That too is a red line.
Legislators sang and clapped their hands as President Kiir delivered the impromptu speech. Mr. Kiir warned MPs they will lose their seats under an interim parliament. He says any proposal to dissolve the elected parliament is meant to destroy its ruling Sudan's People Liberation Movement, or SPLM, party.
The whole intention, Your Excellencies, is to dismantle the SPLM, which they believe has become a very strong monster in South Sudan, and it must be downsized to a level that gives room to it to be challenged and even defeated. The dissolution of the national legislature, I said in Addis Ababa that it is a red line. And I am very clear on this. The members of this August House were elected by their constituencies to represent them in accordance. To represent them in accordance with the transitional constitution of the Republic of South Sudan. And nobody on this earth will be allowed to dishonor their legitimacy.
The president rejected what he says is a proposal from parties he did not name to form an interim government without him. At the same time, he insists he is committed to attaining peace.
Those who retain the idea of dismantling our government must know our position very clearly. Yes. Those elements who please themselves in the agenda of regime change have fallen into the deception that on the 15th of December 2013, President Salva Kiir created a story of a coup in South Sudan, while in fact it was a rebellion from within.
Manasseh Magog Rundiar, the Speaker of South Sudan's National Legislative Assembly, says the peace talks in Addis Ababa, which are now on hold, remain the only chance to restore peace in the country. He says the fighting destroyed the hope citizens had at achieving independence.
We need to evolve in an inclusive form of governance that ensures that all South Sudanese are equal stakeholders, irrespective of ethnicity, race, and belief.
President Kiir also used his speech to reiterate his anger over a recent remark made by IGAD's executive secretary, Mahbud Maalim, in which he apparently said Mr. Kiir and Riek Machar are stupid if they think they can resolve South Sudan crisis on the battlefield. Mr. Kiir said the description of him as stupid cannot be condoned. He says he's expecting an apology from Ethiopian Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn before his delegation returns to the talk. President Kiir also wrote to Desalegn asking him to take definitive action against Maalim for the remark. For BOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
The leader of the rebel SPLM in opposition says South Sudan needs a new system of governance that can benefit all the communities of the country. Riek Machar says his group is proposing a federal system that will, among other things, ensure delivery of basic services to South Sudanese citizens. He says people want real change that will address the root cause of the fighting that broke out in December, which killed tens of thousands of civilians and displaced more than a million others.
I am advocating for a political settlement, an agreement in which a transitional government will be a product. We're talking of a government which will be a product of a political agreement which will accommodate all. It will be a new system of governance based on federalism.
The word federalism is becoming a buzzword among South Sudanese these days. The governor of Western Equatorial State, Joseph Bakasoro, has been talking about it. The governor of Central Equatoria, Clement Kongawani, has been talking about it. And other political leaders are talking about federalism. What are the benefits of a federal system of government?
I first want to congratulate Governor Clement Wani, Governor Joseph Bakasoro, for really stating their views on system of governance, on federalism. To me, this was a very bold step which the two governors took, and I think they are leading their people in the right direction. Lately, I heard Governor Louis Lobong joining again the bandwagon. The demand of people of South Sudan since 1947 was looking for a good system of governance. I'm hoping that the government in Juba will accept that so that we can strike an agreement based on a federal system. We would then restructure our army. We will restructure our security system. We will restructure the public service, the judicial system, the legislature, so that a new system is ushered in.
The calls for reform are coming loud and very clear from your group, the SPLM in opposition. You are on record saying you want reform in the security sector, judiciary, civil service, and the list is endless. The country has no media law, and there are reports of journalists being harassed by security operatives in Juba. Why is your group silent about?
We are not silent about that. When a journalist was killed, I was still in government. I spoke out against that killing. It was politically motivated. We want free media in South Sudan. We cannot develop without free press in South Sudan.
And what is it that your group will do different this time around to help create that free media in South Sudan? You have been there for 8 years, Dr. Riek, in the realms of power, making decisions.
John, I was not the president. The buck did not end with me. If the buck ended with me, you would have a federal constitution in South Sudan now. I believe you interviewed me when we were on the verge of the independence and the transitional constitution was being discussed.
Yes.
The president said there were two constitutions, one of Riek Machar and one which was his. And the vote in parliament was, if you are for the president, you must vote for the transitional constitution which was drafted by John Luke.
Your recent meeting with President Kiir during the IGAD Heads of State Summit took several hours, and media reports say the meeting resulted into heated argument between you, President Kiir, and Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, whom you had called on several occasions, quote-unquote, a mercenary. You ended up shaking his hands. Was that for the camera, or you have changed your stand on the presence of Ugandan troops in South Sudan?
You know, the disturbances happened because President Salva Kiir said there was coup in South Sudan. When President Museveni said there was no coup, there was only fighting. What should I do? I should shake his hands, because that is a bold move.
That's Riek Machar, leader of the rebel SPLM in opposition, speaking with me yesterday from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. The United Nations mission in South Sudan says it is concerned about the worsening conditions in Bentiu civilian protection camp. The UN body says IDPs in the camp lack sufficient basic necessities such as food and water. From Juba, Mungume Debs Rakarinj has this report.
Jeffrey Bonga, who runs the UNMISS Protection of Civilians Unit, says the number of people seeking protection at the camp in the United States capital has increased sharply from 7,000 to nearly 45,000 over the last 2 months. UNMISS says there is a food shortage in many villages and some people could be fleeing their homes in search of food. Bwenga says many people who come to the camp are malnourished. He says the UN and other humanitarian agencies are struggling to provide care for all the newly arrived IDPs. He's particularly concerned about their sanitation and hygiene.
Flooding is occurring regularly across the protection site there, overflowing latrines, the risk of disease outbreaks, and also given the huge increase in numbers, we have a constant struggle to provide enough clean water.
Bwenga says UNMISS provides 7 liters of water per person per day. That is half the minimum humanitarian standard required.
We are drilling boreholes every single day, but we are not keeping up right now with the continued influx of IDPs there. So big concern.
Bwenga says his UNMISS is building other civilian protection sites to relieve crowding. UNMISS spokesperson Ariane Quentier says the number of IDPs nationwide remains high and few are returning home. Quentier says UNMISS is working with the government to encourage those who can to return to their homes. But she says security must be a key component of that effort. She says her organization has started a pilot project under which UN police are training local police to protect the IDPs who voluntarily return home.
Well, the idea is that communities would have police stations that they could trust, rely on, and that would be at their service to help protect them.
Quentier says the training is being conducted at 3 locations across Juba. The first trainees are on track to graduate in the coming weeks. For VOA News, I am Mugume Debs Rakarinj in Juba.
Meanwhile, South Sudanese refugees continue to cross Ethiopia's border in large numbers since the start of the conflict in December. Mata Vanderwerf reports for VOA from Addis Ababa that IOM is concerned about the start of the rainy season and its impact on the refugees.
About 1,500 South Sudan refugees come into Ethiopia every day, fleeing the violent conflict that has continued for 6 months. The International Organization for Migration assists the refugees from the border to the camps. An IOM spokesman, Alamayu Saifa Selassie, says because of the start of the rainy season, transporting the refugees is becoming more challenging.
The rainy season is coming and it's difficult because it affects the transport, it affects the road movement, and it's difficult because there is a large influx coming in every day, and moving them requires constant effort. We have over 40 buses that we are working with, and particularly on the roadside, it gets to be a bit more difficult.
Fighting broke out in December in South Sudan after a political rift between President Salva Kiir and his former Vice President Riek Machar. More than 1.5 million people have been displaced within the country, but many also fled to neighboring countries Kenya, Uganda, and Ethiopia. More than 147,000 South Sudanese are in Ethiopia's southwestern province of Gambela. Once refugees cross the border, they are registered by UNHCR and transported by IOM to the refugee camps. The camps are another one-day drive or 10-hour boat trip away. The rising water level is not affecting transporting refugees by boat, but the rain is affecting road transportation. Alamayu says the rain will continue for the next months.
So as the water level is rising and as roads are being in need of repairs, that will create a bit of a difficulty transporting the refugees to the camps because the road was not good and it was under maintenance. So as the road was under construction, we had to use the boats. That was a bit challenging. The rain has made the transportation a bit difficult.
There are 4 refugee camps in Gambela. 2 have been built high enough and will not be affected by the rainy season. The other 2 camps might be affected. The number of South Sudanese refugees in Ethiopia is expected to increase to 350,000 by the end of the year. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Dripping water taps, wastewater from washing, and rain can form pools of stagnant water where malaria-carrying mosquitoes and other parasites breed. But there are ways to minimize the risk. First, don't dispose of water in a low-lying area which doesn't drain naturally. If there's a stagnant pool near your living space, sweep the water aside. Then, in that spot, dig a hole at least a meter deep. Refill it with sand or gravel, which is porous and allows the water into the soil so a pool doesn't form there. To help protect you and your family from disease, do what you can to eliminate stagnant water.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A new dike is being constructed in Bor thanks to the Koreans. We'll have that story next.
You don't want to miss VOA's South Sudan in Focus. You can hear us on one of our FM affiliate stations around the country or on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. In Juba, listen to South Sudan in Focus at 8 p.m. on 93.5. You can also find us on shortwave at 11995, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz, or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Put your flags up in the
sky, in the sky. Hi, this is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports. Visit VOAfootball.com for live updates on the World Cup in Brazil. The site is optimized for your mobile phone or tablet and will bring you the latest scores, stats, photos, and videos. And everything can be shared with your friends from your mobile device to Facebook and Twitter. World Cup nonstop at VOAfootball.com.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
are there any circumstances when a government should be able to curb freedom of speech?
Government should give freedom of speech, because I think it is through the freedom of speech that the government is able to mirror themselves through the public opinion. When government is performing, of course, they will receive an appreciation. But if the performance are declining, people will begin to criticize.
There are a lot of circumstances. Example, it's not everything that you should allow people to say. Some people will say bad things against the government, and if you do not control that, it will cause problem in the government.
I don't think there are any circumstances where government can stop freedom of speech, because everyone has to express what they feel, has to speak up about everything else. It doesn't have the right to stop anyone from expressing their feelings.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. In hopes of preventing more flash floods, which last year displaced nearly 70,000 people in Jonglei State alone, the United Nations mission in South Sudan is constructing a 17-kilometer dike on the River Nile. Many residents welcome the project, but others fear it will displace families living near the Nile. Jacob Atiek has the story for VOA from the Jonglei State capital, Bor.
Last year, flood displaced 14,000 households in and around Bor County alone. Many houses were destroyed, and I am sure Panapit, Legiak, and Panjak suburb, as well as the market in Bor Marol neighborhood, were more than 3 feet underwater. To stop the flooding, the military engineering unit of the Korean contingency of the United Nations mission in South Sudan is building the dike from Point Zero in Malwalchat, a village located about 5 kilometers from the town center, northward through Arek. Officials say once completed, the projects will prevent future flooding in Bor County and attract investors to the area. Member of Parliament Philip Thonyok, who represents the area, said once completed, the project should not only prevent future flooding in Bor County but attract investors.
It will take water and pitch to the rivers. They use at all those times they used to help some pitch, especially during the dry season. Also, where we are passing now, there are no houses. We were there. There were small gardens. They will benefit a lot from the dike because it will close out the water and their places where they are cultivating will be dry.
Deng Mawel, owner of Upperside Junction's lodge in Borhai mature suburb, said he lost more than 40,000 South Sudanese pounds during last year's floods.
We are very happy for the dying which we saw is started from Malwali Chat. So we saw it. If we reach up to where we are, we'll be very happy because I get a lot of loss because I rent the place to one of Ethiopian. He rent my place. He just pay me 42,000 for 2 months. So at the time the flood come, he came and he asked me the money. I returned the money to him for 2,000.
Malwalcha resident Kurlual also welcomed the construction of the new dike, but think it should be extended beyond 17 kilometers.
The construction of the dike is good, but only that the other side going to Malwalcha area, I'm seeing as my observation. When the flood is going to come back, the area of Malwalcha will be flooded, and this side of Malwalcha barrack will be safe. So I was suggesting the dike not to be started from Gumbo place. It's supposed to be put up to Jawong.
The project was proposed by the state government 2 years ago but was never built due to a lack of funds. Amor Kual is Jongle Physical Infrastructure Minister.
If we calculate in terms of money, and if the Koreans were charging us, we would have run away from that thing. But it is an inbuilt project by the Koreans. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, and they didn't want to tell us the price.
Government officials said the Koreans built dike should be finished in 30 days. For BOA News, I'm Jacob Echek in Bor, Jongle State.
From Bor, we move to Yambio. Residents in the western Equatorial State capital, Yambio, say they are going hungry after traders closed all of their shops and stalls for third straight day. Traders are protesting what they will expect soon to be multiple taxes on their goods. State officials deny they intend to charge more taxes. As Gift Friday reports, Yambio looks deserted after a mob yesterday stormed the police station and freed traders who were arrested after going on strike.
It all began on Tuesday when traders closed their shops to protest the government's opening of a new customs checkpoint at Bazungwa. Although no traders were willing to speak on record for fear of repercussions, anonymous sources say the move was a government plan to levy multiple taxes on traders as they bring their goods into town. Police arrested 9 traders, including the chairperson of Western Equatorial State's Yambio County Chamber of Commerce, Ezekiel Philip, yesterday on charges they were engaging in an illegal strike. But hours after the traders were arrested, mob made up of women, children and traders not arrested stormed the Yambio police station, broke into the cells and released the detained traders. That's when police responded by shooting gunshots into the air to disperse the mob. But the crowd did not break up quickly. They chanted after freeing the traders. Residents say they have nowhere to buy food now that the shops and markets are shuttered. Yambio resident Susan Justin says for the last 3 days, her children have gone to bed without food. She is demanding the state officials to do something.
We mothers
are suffering at home. 3 days now, no market. We survive in the market. We buy salt and sometimes you get loan from the traders. And now there is no way for loans. A salary are not yet out.
Yambio resident Peter Justin agrees.
Nothing to get even the common greens. Now we who do not have anything, and now the salaries are not out, and there the markets are closed. The government needs to look into this issue as soon as possible.
Western Equatoria's Deputy Governor Sapana Abuis says state officials have no plans to levy multiple taxes on traders, nor do they plan demand more payments from traders at the new checkpoint. He says the customs checkpoint was established by the national government last year.
It is a verification checkpoint to check on any malpractices that might have happened in the clearance of goods at the border points, and then also to cross-check tax evasion by traders. And whoever is found not paid the appropriate amount will be made to pay.
But traders and residents insist that national customs checkpoints should be located only at border crossings. Abui is urging the traders to reopen their stalls.
Appealing to the traders to cool down, not to keep their shops closed or to incur losses, it is better we wait until if there is anything wrong in the practices or the activities of that office.
Abui says traders should report illegal practices if and when they occur, but in the meantime, they should reopen their shops. There is no word from traders on whether they plan to do that. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio, Western Equatorial State.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is offering volunteers $644 per month to fight alongside the country's security forces in so-called hot areas battling the insurgency. Mr. Maliki said today that the government will pay non-fighting volunteers who aid security forces $450 per month. He also promised all volunteers will receive an extra food allowance. The offer comes as Iraqi forces and Sunni militants are fighting for control of the country's biggest oil refinery. Iraqi security officials said the government is still in control of the refinery, which is located about halfway between Baghdad and Mosul. The head of NATO says Russia has resumed a troop buildup along its border with Ukraine, as Ukraine's president announced it will sign an association agreement with the European Union. NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen said in Brussels that at least a few thousand more Russian troops have been deployed in what he said was a new Russian military buildup around the Ukrainian border. He called it a very regrettable step backwards. And finally, Israeli troops have clashed with Palestinians during an overnight operation in the search for three Israeli teenagers who've been missing since being kidnapped last week. Israel's army said today the Palestinians threw explosives and fired guns, leading Israeli forces to return fire. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's all we have for you this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Rukundo by Kidum.
Nimbari kuno kuno mbona Nabonyo rukunda lima indagu Nabonya rufindo Nakunzu morondo Namwemba ngisese Sinamubu inga nubu menyini tangisikanwa Temera kubiki matichu rukundo Temeru rufugu kwa banu Siru kwemera, siru kwisera murukundo Mfukani
rukundo
We have been listening to Kidum with that song Rukundo, meaning love. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
urukundo rugisosa tukivuga tudiye.